Change has come to America.
The truth out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
As we burn our carbon credits to stay warm, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to the 2010 Bunker, everybody.
Happy New Year, and we are happy to be back on this January the 9th or 10th.
Today's the 10th. It's our 12th wedding anniversary.
Oh.
Happy anniversary, honey. Happy anniversary.
Could I be any more stereotypically typically a male and to forget the date? Yes, it is 1/10 of 10.
What's so funny is that I looked at you last night and said something about our anniversary and you went, what? And let me tell you why that doesn't bother me. Seriously, this is so true. Because every day with you is just as wonderful and exciting, and we celebrate it as if every day is an anniversary, because for me, every day is a miracle.
And I feel the same way. I mean, I have seen the hand of God at work in our lives through things that have happened. For a lot of people, they wouldn't be considered miraculous, I suppose. I mean, no angel dust or, you know, oil running down the walls of the house or anything like that, but much more subtle, but I think much more profound.
Mm-hmm.
So, happy anniversary, and we begin year number 13.
That's right. If today's our 12th anniversary, that means today we begin year number 13. I think that's pretty exciting, actually.
I would agree. Well, there is so much to talk about since we last spoke, because it was prior to the Christmas holiday.
Last year. We haven't had a PID show all year.
Thank you, by the way, for your prayers and support last weekend. Last Sunday, you spent a lot of that day
in the bathroom.
Yeah, was not well. And it passed quickly, so thank you for that.
Literally passed. Well, that's passed. Now I'm hungry.
So was feeling back to normal on Monday, but thankfully we did have a really wonderful interview last weekend for View from the Bunker, which was recorded not on Sunday, thankfully. If I'd tried to do that on Sunday, I would not have been in, you know, very good shape. So anyway, a lot to talk about. A lot of things have been going on as we head into the new year.
It's, you know what? This is the most amazing world we're living in. Every day watching the news, I just sit there and it's hard for me to get things done in my farm on Farmville.
Because the news keeps distracting me.
Distracted by the news.
Oh.
Gosh.
Well, you know, it's clear from what's been going on with our elected leadership in Washington, not just this administration, but the prior administration, that they don't give a rip what the voters care, you know, what we think.
Well, they don't. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me, seriously, it wouldn't surprise me if on Farmville that there's some little thing that comes in there about carbon offsets.
Yeah, yeah. And a tax collector, a revenuer.
Yeah.
Starts showing up. Yeah. Because
you're going to have to pay like, you know, five Farmville cash bucks or whatever they're called for a gun just to
yeah.
sit
then
on
you'll
your
have
front
to register
and, yeah.
the gun. And
yeah.
They won't be able to sell you any ammunition.
Well, that's true.
So, well, we've talked about this before, the TARP plan that was passed by the Bush administration, followed by the bailouts of the banks, the two of the biggest auto companies in the world, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which, by the way, on Christmas Eve was quietly expanded by the federal government through a stroke of the pen by Tim Geithner, Secretary mm-hmm. of the Treasury. To $400 billion, which is amazing because so far Fannie and Freddie have only used up about $150 billion. So what's coming this year that Geithner knows that we don't know yet as Americans?
I saw that one in five Americans is underwater.
Right.
And that may actually be a low figure.
It may be. And what's really surreal about all of this is that, again, the fact that all of these things passed when over 60% of Americans oppose these measures. I mean, anymore, it's considered a landslide when a president wins 54% of the popular vote. Okay. So when you get 60 to 70% of Americans agreeing on something, you know, for one, it's bipartisan. You get independents, Republicans, Democrats, libertarians, Greens. Mm-hmm. You get a big chunk of all of those people saying, you know what? We really shouldn't give $800 billion to Wall Street because they made bad bets. Government doesn't care. They did it anyway. I think Iceland's reaction to being told by the International Monetary Fund that mm-hmm. they were going to have to pony up what amounted like $45,000 U.S. per household to bail out people in Britain who put mm-hmm. money in the Icelandic bank. Iceland basically told them to go pound snow, and the Brits and the rest of the world furious. Why you? We're not going to let you in the European Union now.
And so what? Don't
yeah,
care.
Those descendants of Vikings are saying, you know, we don't care. We'd rather take our lumps now, have downgrade our credit. We don't care. But we're not going to assume that much debt because the bankers and the investors in those banks decided to do stuff with their money. And anytime you put your money into any kind of a bank or a stock or a mutual fund, you're assuming some risk. And mm-hmm. you've got to be willing to pay the consequences if the investment doesn't pay off. These investors in the bank, the depositors in the bank, put their money in this bank in Iceland because they were offering a higher rate of return. They were promised more money. Well, the bank folded. British depositors want their money back. And the rest of the world is telling the taxpayers of Iceland they need to bail out the British depositors. And in the Netherlands, a bunch of depositors from the Netherlands as well. And the Icelanders said, nope. No, not going to do it. Now,
why would British citizens put their money into a bank in Iceland?
Because they were promised a higher rate of return than they would have gotten from any bank in the UK. Because the Icelandic bank, whatever this bank was making promises it couldn't live up to.
Mm-hmm. Well, that shouldn't be an onus upon the citizens of Iceland.
It shouldn't. It shouldn't. But the rest of the world wants it to be. Now, the president of Iceland, in fact, the legislature in Iceland had been intimidated into voting for a measure that would have obligated the citizens of Iceland to pay back these depositors. The president vetoed it, which, according to the Icelandic constitution, now requires a referendum. The citizens of Iceland have to vote on it, and it's going to fail. They're going to say, no, we are not going to pay off these depositors who put their money in the bank. Would that the United States had a president that would say, you know, our citizens shouldn't be put on the hook for the bad business decisions of General Motors, Chrysler, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, Merrill Lynch, AIG, Countrywide Mortgage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because all of us are on the hook in the same way that the
Hundreds of thousands of dollars per person. Not per household. If you have a baby, that baby's on the hook.
Comes into the world.
For hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yes.
Look, kid, pay up now.
Yeah. But we don't have a president who is got the guts of the president of Iceland to stand up and say, we will not obligate our citizens. We will not put this yoke on the necks of our citizens. And, you know, about 60 to 70% of us agree, but the government has gone ahead and done it anyway.
Clearly, they don't care what we think.
Exactly my
point. Look, we're just a bunch of rednecks, yokels to them.
Yeah, and any opposition to this government is just, in the words of Jeanine Garofalo, racism straight up. Yeah. Well, I read an interesting thing at the website of PIMCO, which is one of the largest... PIMCO, which I believe is a fund management. I don't think it's an investment bank. I should know this because I'm quoting this guy's website. I big wigs in the world of high finance, and they did a little digging into the debt that the United States racked up last year, which is officially about $1.5 trillion. I mean, if they were forced to keep the books according to the standards, the law.
I thought it was $12 trillion.
It's certainly more than the $1.5 trillion for last fiscal year that was reported.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's using accounting methods that would land corporations Mm-hmm. in you know the you know corporations would get them prosecuted by the government.
Right.
They had to float about $1.5 trillion worth of treasury bonds in order to finance the deficit. And foreign investors like China bought about $200 billion worth of that. Other small investors bought maybe another $100 billion or so. 80% of the debt that was floated by the U.S. Treasury was purchased by the Federal Reserve Bank. It's like, wait a minute. The Federal Reserve prints the money.
No. They don't print it.
Well, they authorize the Treasury Department to print it. But again, all those bills have Federal Reserve
note
on it.
It's okay. A Federal Reserve note.
So the Federal Reserve
The actual printing.
Right. Federal Reserve essentially creates the money out of thin air, $1.5 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've got to back it with something. They need, so they sell bonds in order to finance this debt. But then they turn around and buy up 80% of those bonds. How does this work? This sounds like a perpetual motion machine.
But isn't there a regulation pending that requires all 401ks and other retirement funds to invest a certain percentage of it in government bonds?
It's not pending, but this is something that is coming this week. The Treasury Department will open hearings on, requiring 401ks, your retirement plan, to invest a certain percentage in government treasury bonds. So, in other words,
why do I keep in my mind seeing that scene from Gone with the Wind, where Gerald O'Hara is sitting there looking through a box, and Scarlett comes over and she goes, "What you got, Pa?" And he goes, "Bonds. I've got bonds." She goes, "But what kind of bonds, Pa?"
Confederate bonds. The best ones. Yeah. Well, that is something. The U.S. Treasury is talking about that as a means of finding new investors, new revenue streams to sop up this debt that the United States is racking up. I mean, none of us, well, at least, you know, I wouldn't allocate, and we don't put a lot into 401k, just a bare minimum.
You may not yourself, but the truth is that the fund itself that your 401k is in
may offer that as an option, but I've got the option within the 401k.
May just require that it has.
But that's the thing. The Treasury is going to talk about requiring converting 401k savings into annuities, which essentially means buying up Treasury bonds.
Mm-hmm.
Because and this is where I need to get an expert in high finance on A View from the Bunker, because I can't conceive of any way that the Federal Reserve can create the money and then buy the bonds that cover the debt that was created by printing up this new money that has nothing behind it. I don't see how that works. I don't understand how that works. But what ultimately it, and the reason we talk about this on PID Radio, is that ultimately this all leads back to one thing, which is a one-world government.
Yes.
Increasing control over all of us. They need to get rid of this pesky idea of nationalism that we Americans have. Especially.
And the only way to do it is the order out of chaos. You need to bankrupt the United States and all the citizens in order to force us into that global mentality, mm-hmm. which is already there. The infrastructure's there. We've said that so many times on this show.
Right.
We are already a global government because of the various treaties.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that the citizens haven't been told yet.
So slowly but surely, by baby steps, they will get us to that point.
Well, you were talking about banks, and I told you this earlier when I was downstairs. Derek is in the process of refinishing some wonderful old furniture that we've been gifted by.
A wonderful gift.
Yeah, I know it. It is. And he was downstairs working on that, and I was working on the laundry, and I said, by the way, let me tell you something that I just posted to PID News. Apparently, there is a little loophole that allows banks. Now, it may be more than just banks and financial institutions, but the article in question at PID News specifically says financial institutions to take out what they call peasant policies.
Peasant policies.
Peasant, not pleasant, peasant policies. They're life insurance policies with a huge payout. In the story in question, it was 67 times the salary of the gentleman who was insured.
Okay.
Yes, yes. He worked for the company at the time he was insured, but 3 months later, he was let go.
Now, at this point,
you'd think it would go away, because why would they have an insurable interest?
Exactly.
Why would that insure someone who is a low-level employee anyway?
Well, yeah.
For 67 times his salary and payout. And you know, that's the kind of thing you do for the founder or the CEO or something.
Right, sure.
Apparently, the regulation allows them to maintain that life insurance coverage for as long as the guy's alive.
In perpetuity.
Whether he's working for them or not. And sure enough, this guy died. The widow found out only because of a snafu by the post office. They mangled the envelope and didn't know where to send the check. So the only thing they could do, it was supposed to go to the bank. It was a check over $1 million, like $1.6 million or something. So they saw the gentleman's name, the deceased, mm-hmm. sent it to his last address, which meant it went to the widow. And she opens a check that she wasn't expecting. She was expecting $150,000.
Which was his life insurance.
He was told the company was insuring him for.
Okay.
We're going to make sure you get a nice payout for your wife if anything ever happens. Mind you, he was being treated for a brain tumor at the time. So he was joyful, probably,
sure.
to get any coverage.
Right, yeah.
She had not yet, and as at the time of the writing of the article, has not received her check. But the company,
the bank,
was supposed to be getting and had been cut a check for $1.6 million.
That is astonishing.
Peasant policies.
That is astonishing.
Now,
this is
couple
like a 19,
that.
This is like a film noir, you know,
yes.
like Double Indemnity.
It is.
We'll create this insurance policy on your husband, Mrs. So-and-so, and then, you know, because the only value to the company, to the bank at that point was
if he died.
I mean, he was no longer an employee.
Exactly.
They fired the poor guy because he was no longer able to perform his duties because of the brain tumor.
Exactly.
So the only value to the company then. Now, this is really, well.
He died at a relatively young age, too. And it was probably because of complications from the brain tumor. But it was actually in their interest to have him die.
How does this?
It gets worse.
How is this legal?
It gets worse.
It's a $4.7 million policy,
oh, sorry.
By the way. $4.7 million on this guy.
It gets worse because there is an exchange where life insurance policies are actually sold and bought by people all over the world as commodities.
Right.
You've talked about this on the show before.
The investment bankers, that the same group of people that have securitized our mortgages and turned them into financial instruments that are traded all over the world, the same group of people that wants to securitize cow flatulence and sell them off as carbon mm-hmm. credits on exchanges around the world are selling off life insurance policies. They're coming to – now, but the way it was working, at least to this point, was that they were coming to – approaching people and saying, look, we know that you've got a policy with a payout of, $500,000. Mm-hmm. Would you take $75,000 cash right now to transfer the policy to us? You know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will take a bunch of these, bundle them together, and sell them as securities to investors.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out about this last fall when a story popped up that I thought was a joke because it sounds so unreal that investors in Germany were upset that Americans weren't dying quickly enough. They were investing in these financial instruments that only pay out when we die.
Right.
And we're not dying soon enough. But imagine this. I mean, what is behind this dead peasant policy? How is this even legal?
Well, you have to ask that, don't you? But apparently not only is it legal, it's also free of any taxes.
Free of taxes?
Yeah, they don't have to pay taxes on a lot of this stuff. They get to write off at least a portion of the premium, and when they get paid, it's not taxed. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Well, this is really creepy. I mean, just imagine.
Well, clearly we're not dying off fast enough, and maybe that's why they're putting ammonia.
Reform.
They're putting ammonia.
Well, besides
in our ground
reform,
beef.
This is a story that popped up last week? Right around New Year's Day, I think, is when we first saw this story pop up, that a company called Beef Products developed several years ago a means of, they claimed, anyway, eliminating bacterial contamination in fatty trimmings from cattle, from cows at the slaughterhouse, so that these trimmings could then be used in certain meat products. The process involves taking these trimmings and essentially treating them with ammonia. Ammonia.
Look, ammonia in the human body is bad.
Yeah.
It's just bad. Now, mind you, there are chemical processes that take place within the human body that do yield ammonia, but it's not good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things that cause health problems.
And the FDA, according to the story, more or less took the word of Beef Products Incorporated, said, yeah, this is a safe process. It eliminates E. coli contamination. And so you are free to sell these trimmings, these leavings, to other meat.
The pink slime. Soylent pink.
One investigator called it pink slime, referred to this as pink slime. But like, you know, as will often happen with, foods and drugs that need to be approved by the mm-hmm. government, if you've got a powerful lobbyist on your side, that mm-hmm. can sometimes help speed the approval process. And that appears to have been what happened here. Now, the thing that surprised me with this story is that the focus of the articles that appeared, and it ran in some pretty prominent papers like the New York Times, the focus of the article was on whether or not the process actually eliminated the E. coli, because apparently people apparently people have gotten ill in one case, a woman paralyzed from the waist down for eating a burger that was contaminated with E. coli that had been that included these beef trimmings.
Mm-hmm.
None of the articles that I saw, and I read through four or five, even addressed the issue of whether treating these meat scraps with ammonia was healthy. What's even more frightening is that, according to these articles, most of the prominent fast food restaurants in the United States use these trimmings in their ground beef
exactly.
for their hamburgers.
And more than likely, if you are buying your ground beef in a frozen state,
right,
which often means it's less expensive. There are a number of discount food stores, mainstream food stores that sell that sort of product. More than likely, it has Soylent Pink in it.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I'll put a link to these articles, a couple of these articles, in the show notes at PIDradio.com, because you really need to read this to get a sense for what's going on.
I did a 180, absolutely, after we read this article, and because I had been buying that to save money.
Mm-hmm.
I've been buying frozen ground beef.
Frozen.
Big rolls of, exactly.
Yeah, right.
No. I am now spending slightly more, but being so much more confident in the product. Going to the local, it's a locally owned grocery store. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit more expensive, but they actually bring in their own beef products, and they make the ground beef there in the store.
And when we say beef products, we actually mean, you know,
Big carcasses of beef.
Yeah, they bring in the beef
and they butcher
the meat right there and they grind it there so
mm-hmm.
that
you can see them doing it.
Yeah, and the thing that really got me was that this process using these leavings as a filler in the ground beef products used by fast food chains, school lunch programs mm-hmm. all across America, is that it saves about 3 cents a pound.
Mm-hmm.
I
know that if you look at, you know, millions and millions of pounds, that does appear to save some money.
Well, sure.
But if you're making people ill, if you're actually causing health problems, why? It's almost like guaranteeing those peasant policies
will pay off.
Pay off.
Exactly right. Yeah, it is a, you know, we just sort of take for granted.
It's another Pleasant Valley Sunday.
It's surfing,
Mickey Dolan.
Surfing USA. S-E-R-F.
Oh, gosh.
It is sort of taken for granted in the United States that our food is safe. We go to the grocery store. We go to a fast food place. We assume that it's safe. And this didn't used to be the case. I mean, our ancestors had to be very careful with what they ate because they didn't have modern refrigeration techniques. They didn't have additives and preservatives that kept food, you know, fresh
and
on a store shelf
for
months.
And they were healthier.
And they were likely healthier, at least as far as what they ate, because they didn't have, you know, growth hormones and other, you know, they didn't
and
have
additives and
genetically modified grains and foods that they were ingesting.
Well, you know, you were talking a moment ago about how most of the fast food chains that serve burgers or ground beef products, that they're getting they've got Soylent Pink in their product. That is not the only source of E. coli or coliform bacterial infection in those stores. A recent survey found that a high percentage of soft drinks had fountain soft drinks had coliform bacterial contamination.
Those employees aren't reading those little signs in the bathroom about washing their
hands? No, apparently they're not.
Well, you know, one of the – and this was – You notice that the last year or two, I have not taken any of the mints from a restaurant when we're walking out of a...
I know.
Because research done in restaurants found that one of the places where you're most likely to find coliform bacteria are in those little bowls of mints at the front door. And it's not because of employees. It's because you've got other people who are eating at the restaurant who go to use the facilities and don't wash their hands before the...
Well, you know, when I've stopped at rest stops and places like that, exactly.
Never leave the house, let my nails grow 4 feet long.
What, longer than that? They're already gone. it's astounding.
Yeah,
it is astounding. It really does seem like, I'm not joking here, it really does seem like they're trying to kill us off.
Well,
what
they don't do with the E. coli and the ammonia beef, they're going to do with the healthcare reform, right?
Oh, Harry Reid.
Well, yeah. Well, of course, if that doesn't do it, we got the overdue supernova that's ready to wipe us out.
Hey, I'd forgotten about that story.
Yeah, this may be just alarmism, but I'll point it out only because it was published in a tabloid. I mean, the Sun in the UK. Professes to be an actual newspaper, but they were citing the work of a scientist at Villanova in Pennsylvania, Villanova University. Astronomers there say that there is a star called T. Pixidis, about 3,260 light years away, which is setting up for a massive supernova blast. And up until 1967, they were witnessing every 20 years a number of explosions, nova explosions of this star as it prepares to go supernova. I mean, this small star is sucking in gas, and once it reaches critical mass, it's going to blow. Well, every 20 years it was going nova, but it stopped in 67, which means it's overdue for the next one, and they think the next one might be the big one. And their fear is that when that big one goes, it'll strip away the ozone layer, leaving us exposed to cosmic radiation. And
which is similar to the storyline in the movie 2012.
Yeah.
But that has to do with the sun sending out a huge gamma burst or something.
2012, or was that the Nicolas Cage movie, Knowing?
No, 2012, I think the reason that the Earth is destroyed is because there's this big blast that comes from the sun and strips away everything on the protective layer on the Earth. Yeah, I know it happened with Nicolas Cage, too.
Okay. Well, you know, ozone gone, all die. Even had that underlined. So anyway, watch for that as we get closer. See a bright light in the sky. Well,
what is the line from Chicken Run? Put your head between your legs and kiss your bum goodbye.
What else is going on out there? Getting into some of the some of the spiritual things taking place here.
Well, yeah, I want to talk about Brit Hume really quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Brit Hume, if you have never watched Fox News, and if you're listening to this show, I'm guessing that somewhere along the line you've seen Fox News. Well, Brit Hume used to host the show that the Talking Heads show at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, Special Report.
Yeah. Brit Hume has been in, oh gosh, news and television journalism for most of his adult life.
Yeah, probably close to 35, 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
Formerly with ABC, and he was one of the early hires by the new Fox News Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And he became essentially the Washington managing editor,
mm-hmm.
and the host of the show. And we liked him a lot. I mean, he was, I thought, more balanced than most of the talking heads on the other networks. Mm-hmm.
We like him even more now because he is on the record as saying that essentially Jesus Christ is an explosive phrase. He calls them the two most explosive words on television.
Yeah, and he's right about that. And of course, this came about because he offered the opinion that Tiger Woods, who is reportedly a Buddhist. Needs to find Jesus Christ because the Christian faith is the only one that offers
true forgiveness
for sin. Buddhism doesn't. And
he didn't back down when he was on Bill O'Reilly. O'Reilly tried to put him on the hot seat over it, and Britt did not back down from what he said, and I say, mm-hmm. good on him.
Yeah, and we saw Howard Kurtz of the Washington Post, who hosts a show on CNN on Sundays, talking about this today. And I think it's interesting that this comment of Brit Hume offering an opinion that, turning to Jesus Christ is a way to have that burden of shame and guilt lifted from you. And all of us have encountered things, have done things that have left us burdened in that way, would be his path to to getting past that, a true and honest forgiveness, and that is just not offered by any of the other major religions.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the talking heads, offered the opinion that this was just really inappropriate for a cable news show to be, for a commentator like Brit Hume to be making comments like that in public because he might offend people who have other beliefs.
Well, exactly. Well, how, yeah. And essentially he said, how dare Brit Hume, he can voice his opinion about Christianity, but how dare he say it's superior to any other religion?
Well, yeah. How dare any political commentator say that one part of the other's, superior to the other.
Exactly.
Why is this, how is this any different from any other pontificating or analysis that takes place in any other news show? Well, it's because Jesus Christ, and it's because, as the other guest who was, I think from CBN. Yeah, Christian Broadcasting Network, a reporter for CBN, said, well, look, of course Jesus Christ and Christianity is going to be offensive because it requires a choice, and it requires all of us to essentially face facts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he didn't go into facts about ourselves that we don't find very comfortable, which, of course, are that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's very different from the I'm okay, you're okay theology that the world
it's all good.
Yeah, that the world wants us to buy into. So, but telling that there was so much time spent on the story and on the aftermath, just because Brit Hume offered the opinion that Tiger Woods needs Christ. Well, sadly, some of those who profess to be followers of Jesus Christ are wandering pretty far afield. We've talked briefly in the past about Todd Bentley, who's the Canadian, miracle worker, the guy who claims that talks to 14-foot-tall angels. And
mm-hmm.
Anyway, he had that little problem after the Lakeland revival,
mm-hmm.
and I will use revival in air quotes there, where he cheated on his wife and then subsequently got divorced and is remarried now with the woman that he was fooling around with. He has now been sanitized, yes, for our protection by Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries. Joyner is one of the leading lights of the Dominionist DeJoel's Army movement. Kind of a linchpin between, Joel's Army and Latter Rain and all of that heresy, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
But now Bentley is taking part in a new revival that has broken out at Joyner's Morningstar Church in South Carolina, which follows a revival that was announced by Mike Bickle's International House of Prayer in Kansas City, which began, interestingly, on 11-11, November 11th of 09, and has been continuing ever since, where students have been gathering from all over the country, they say, to gather nightly and feel the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which for these folks typically means a lot of, you know, holy laughter and shaking and falling on the ground and that sort of thing.
That sounds like the kind of behavior that Elijah was dealing with
the prophets of Baal.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not scriptural. It's not biblical. But it's now taking place in a couple of parts of the country. And Bickle, of course, is a good friend of Lou Engel, who's the founder of The Call, which is the group that is recruiting Joel's army from among young people around the country and Canada to go and pray in Washington, D.C. every year. Last year's The Call event attracted people like Mike Huckabee, Michael W. Smith, mm-hmm. Gary Bauer, former candidate for president, formerly with Focus on the Family, Tony Perkins, head of the Family Research Council. So they're getting leading evangelicals, mainstream evangelicals, involved in this Dominionist movement. And while it's, I think, a valid question to say, well, what's wrong with gathering to pray against things like abortion and homosexual marriage? Nothing. However, when you read the writings of these people, guys like Engel, and the others who frequent the Elijah list on the internet, you see that their words, their terminology is very militant, and that they are not about the liberty that comes from knowing Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Rick Joyner in particular, and I wrote a long piece about this about a year and a half ago on my blog, went out of his way to say that when we take dominion over the earth, at first it'll seem like tyranny,
mm-hmm.
because we'll have to move from a period of necessary control to greater liberty as people learn how to act under the headship of Jesus Christ. In other words, they want to create a totalitarian state in Jesus' name because, you know, you got to take over and you got to teach people how to live right first. And then once they learn how to live right, then you can let them have some freedom.
But, you know, that's exactly what's going on here in the United States politically.
Yeah, yeah.
We're being turned into essentially a totalitarian state.
Yeah.
And it's not pleasant.
And the interesting thing is that the ones enacting the that is coming from both sides, because we saw it developing during the Bush administration, which was nominally conservative.
Mm-hmm.
The people running the White House now are anything but they're working at the same goal, which...
Mm-hmm. And so it's all a spiritual thing.
It's a spiritual thing.
These are different aspects of the same spiritual goal.
Right. And that's why we can say and mean that the New Age movement, the progressive spiritual movement, is working toward the same goal as the allegedly conservative spiritual movement, Dominionism, the ones who want to take dominion back over the culture, mm-hmm. and the arts and politics and government.
And the same goal as the political progressive movement.
Exactly. It's all motivated by the same spirit, which is a totalitarian one world spirit.
An anti-Christian
spirit. And the interesting thing is that the interview for A View from the Bunker that's going up this weekend with Ken Silva, who is the president of Apprising Ministries, discernment ministry, basically, or as he calls it, engaged in special ops along the internet front, said, and I was happy to hear, you know, others besides you and me and folks like Constance Cumby and Tom Horn, believing this, that through the Dominionist movement, through the Joel's Army movement, through this latter rain type movement, there are many well-meaning Christians who, without realizing what they're doing, will pave the road for the Antichrist. And I think Ken is right on.
I think that is one of the reasons why we are told, we are commanded to discern the spirits. That implies that not all spirits are good.
Yeah. The one other thing I want to bring up, which is really, it would be funny if it wasn't, if these people weren't serious and if they weren't sucking people into this deception. Over this this past weekend, last weekend, the first weekend of the new year, Todd Bentley, the tattooed biker book kicking in the face, you know,
granny kicking
preacher, was called up to the podium to the by Rick Joyner at Morningstar Church, and they brought in Bob Jones, of you know, one of the Kansas City prophets. A fellow who's been proven to be a false prophet so often that no one should be listening to this fellow anymore. But apparently he's considered a the dean, the patriarch of this movement. And he was there to lay hands on Todd Bentley and, you know, remove a curse from him that Joyner claims Christians have placed on Joyner through the words that we've spoken. Okay, this is a word faith sort of thing. Your words have power. And according to Joyner, we, by through our words, have the power of life and death. Well, no.
I believe that's Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Setting that aside, he went through this whole, and I watched the video, which I'm not going to post a link to it. You can find it if you like, but it's as comical as it sounds. I mean, you know, these guys are the pro wrestlers of Christian ministers. That's what it comes down to. These guys are pro wrestlers.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but, you know, he goes through the whole routine of, you know, shaking and going, shoo. And, you know, the curse has been lifted from him. But then Bob Jones gives the microphone to his wife, Bonnie, who announces that she's going to remove a curse from the women in attendance that morning at Morningstar Church, because there's been a curse on women, Christian women, for years that needs to be released. Now, interestingly, this echoes something that a couple of other women did at the International House of Prayer a couple of weeks earlier, you know, removing the curse from women, because women need to rise up. Anyway, and I will read basically from a transcript of from this video. Now, this is Bonnie Jones, Bob Jones' wife, speaking. Recently, the Lord spoke to me about the spoken word, and he said we must take an aggressive stand against the spoken word because it gives the enemy permission to use it against us. We must cancel the power and the authority of that spoken word. And there's been spoken words against the women, and today when we were sitting here, we were noticing Bob's shoes. It says, New Balance, 622. And I believe there's a new balance coming to the body of Christ. That you women are no longer second-class citizens, but that curse has been put upon you, but you will not be after today. We're taking that curse off, and just as I am one with Bob, we're a new balance, we're one body, we're married, we're one body, and the 62-2 on Bob's shoes is Isaiah 62-2. This is what I believe the Lord is giving you. The nations will see your righteousness and the kings your glory, and you'll be called by a new name which the mouth of the Lord will designate. Now, did you get that? She got the Bible verse that God was speaking to the women in the audience there from the label on Bob Jones' sneakers. But I continue, because the best is yet to come. And I believe for you, women, that the name that the Lord is giving you is a Shunammite woman. If you remember the story of the Shunammite woman, she was the widow that Elisha went to, who just had... who had the oil that kept replenishing miraculously.
Elijah.
But Shunammite. This is what passes for Bible teaching in one of the most prominent charismatic churches today, Rick Joyner's Morningstar Church. And I am just astounded that this is the seat of what they're calling a new revival in the body of Christ. I frankly, if this is a revival, God help us.
There's so much myth that whole deal that is just wrong.
Yeah.
She's speaking a word,
mm-hmm.
saying that the spoken word
yeah.
is invalid.
Well, that they need to remove the spoken word of the curse against women because, again, somehow somebody said something or people have said things that have led to this curse being placed on Christian
women. So I wonder
women.
How she that feels about the Lord God Almighty saying to Eve.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of what you've done, you're going to, you know, have pain in childbirth.
I don't know.
And you're going to be, you know, frankly, you're going to have to be subservient to your husband.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be under your husband's authority because of what you've done.
Yeah. Well, apparently that no longer applies because of Bob Jones' shoes.
No, exactly. Hey.
Oh, brother. Well, and while that's going on, you got Joel Osteen, who's the pastor of the biggest church in the United States, Lakewood, down in Houston, Texas, speaking a blessing over the new mayor of Houston, who was the first openly homosexual mayor in the history of the city of Houston. She's a lesbian and makes no bones about it. She was elected to the office, and Joel Osteen apparently didn't see any problem with delivering the prayer and speaking a blessing over her at her inauguration. Lord,
what
save
a world
us.
We are living in. Lord Jesus, even so come
yeah.
quickly.
And
we're living in Laodicea.
That is a fact. And the people who have no grounding, no foundation on firm doctrine. And the Bible has to be your plumb line. It has mm-hmm. to be your anchor.
It does, but you cannot lift. First of all, you can't just see a number on a shoe and
right.
say, hey, that's what God's saying to me right now. And go and lift one verse mm-hmm. out of context and interpret it according to your own understanding.
Right, right. I mean, that's no different than taking the Bible, flipping open to a random page, putting your finger down on it and said, okay, here's what God's saying to me today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, God may choose to do something like that. I'm not saying that it can't happen, but it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like, a magic eight ball.
No, and that's a really good way to compare it.
And this is
I think in way too many circles that God's word is looked at almost as the equivalent of the magic eight ball.
Yeah, the 1-900 call Miss Cleo or whatever, you mm-hmm. know, the fortune teller or soothsayer.
No.
That's not the way it works. And this is why, you get people like this, and you get this, this family down in Australia now that has got the miracle house, they're calling it, oil running down the walls of their home for
yeah.
the last 3 years since the death of their son in a car crash. People looking for signs like that.
Lying signs and wonders.
Lying signs and wonders. Because the miracle of just the preservation of Scripture isn't enough. The miracles that they see contained therein, and the quiet miracles that we see in our lives, like the one I talked about before, the fact that you and I are married 12 years and it feels like it's gone by in the span of a week.
Mm-hmm. And yet, I feel like I've known you my entire life.
Right. That, I see, is a miracle. But people aren't satisfied with that. And no wonder that Jesus said, look, these people aren't satisfied with Moses and the prophets. They're not going to listen to me. I mean, what you guys have got all of creation as evidence of the handiwork of God,
mm-hmm.
and yet you want cheap parlor tricks to prove that he's around?
That's what it comes down to. Cheap parlor tricks. And sadly, those can be faked. They were
yeah.
faked in the court of Pharaoh.
Mm-hmm. Well, and faked, but they may have actually been actual manifestations brought by the fallen angels.
Well, and that's the scariest thing. You
yeah.
and I were talking about this earlier, and I said, at the very best, these are fakes.
Yeah.
These are fakers who are out just to make money. At the very worst,
mm-hmm.
these are people who are in league with demonic spirits.
Exactly right.
And these are manifestations from those spirits.
Exactly.
That's the scary part. And as you say, there are well-intended believers who are in these pews,
mm-hmm.
and they're falling for it, hook, line, and sinker, because they have no scriptural foundation.
Right.
You got to know the word. If you don't know the word, you're going to be fooled by those who think that they can use it as a weapon against you.
Exactly.
And that's why I try to, there's a great Steve McHenry.
Yeah.
who is one of my Facebook friends. He's one of our listeners. He's a wonderful, wonderful guy. If you haven't friended him on Facebook, I highly recommend you do it. Mm-hmm. We'll link to his page. He's got some of the coolest things to say. He and several other good friends have started a group at YouVersion, which is a wonderful place to read the Bible.
Yeah,
and it's called
Bible.
It's the Blue Letter Bible's blended plan. And that's what I've been doing.
Yep.
And I highly recommend it. You've got to find a methodical way to read through the Bible every year. It's not hard to do.
No, it really isn't. It doesn't take much time.
It takes about 15 minutes of your time every day. That's it.
Yeah. And it will pay benefits because, as you know, Nicole and I read through the Bible every morning. Mm-hmm. It was part of a routine. Uh-huh. We'd sit down and we'd eat cereal, mm-hmm. and then I would read, and she would read, and we went through most of the Bible mm-hmm. During that time, and it was really a help to me, and I pray that it bears fruit. I know it has in some cases mm-hmm. with her.
It has. I'm sure that she relies on those things, and it's more than that. I mean, that's the very least you should do.
Yeah.
Is spend 15, 20 minutes just, in a structured program to get you through the Bible once a year. Because I guarantee every time you read a verse, you'll find something new in it.
Right.
If you read the same verse every day for a year, mm-hmm. you would find something new in it every time.
Right.
But the other thing is you've got to memorize it. Because when you really need it, you got to have it stored up in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, God is capable of bringing verses to your mind that perhaps you never officially memorized. You didn't realize you had memorized it. But that's not going to be the norm. You do need to sit down and actually memorize it.
Hmm. That's a tough road to hoe, but the fact is...
If you just do one a week, that's 52 a year.
Mm-hmm. Just verses here and there that are key points of doctrine,
mm-hmm.
at the very least.
Yeah.
For it is by grace you are saved through faith, mm-hmm. and things like that. Because it is easy to be deceived if you don't know what the truth is. We've used this analogy before. It's like trying to discern a counterfeit bill when you don't know what a real dollar bill looks like. And sadly, a lot of people who are in these churches are in churches today, period,
mm-hmm.
in Christian churches today, are not sufficiently grounded in basic doctrinal concepts to see these false preachers when they appear on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, they come in a lot of different shapes and sizes. You've got the, God wants you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise preachers like Joel Osteen. You've got these charismatic Joel's Army Latter Rain guys like Bickle and Joyner and Bentley. And if you hold their words up against Scripture and compare them side by side, you see very quickly that these guys have gone off the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
They're freelancing. They're freelancing. They may be serving a spirit, but it's not the one
mm-hmm.
that guided the authors of the books of the Bible.
Exactly. You need the standard, and that's Scripture. And
yes.
If you don't know it, you're not going to be able to, you have no comparison.
Absolutely.
There are great ways. If you really do want to memorize Scripture, and if you don't, then why don't you? I think one of the easiest ways for me to do it, honestly, I put it to song. There are mm-hmm. wonderful songs out there that are just a scripture put to music. And if you learn that song, then you've learned that scripture.
Mm-hmm. That's an excellent suggestion.
Oh, it's a yeah. wonderful way to do it. And that's why I think I love, church music that is just singing scripture. But another way to do it, and this is in our day and age, it's so easy to do. Just get an MP3 of, the word being...
Sure.
Read and listen to it over and over again. Mm-hmm. Before you know it, you're going to know it.
Yep. Well, and good Bible teaching. There are a lot of places on the web where you can find good Bible studies if you don't have a good Bible study at the church that you're in. Because reading it is key, but then taking it a step further and learning what God was saying in those words. Because there are things in the Bible that have specific cultural frame of reference that... it helps to understand the verse if you understand the times in which the verses were written.
That's true.
Not that the meaning changes. I'm not saying that because there are groups out there that will say, well, God's prohibition against this or that only applied to the year, you know, 1500 BC. We're more modern and, you know, enlightened than we were. No. The meanings don't change. But understanding the meaning of somebody who was writing 3,500 years ago mm-hmm. may be helped if you have somebody who understands the history of the ancient Near East teaching the course.
It's yeah. a long journey that you will only complete and maybe not even yeah. complete when we're at the foot of the feet of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because I suspect that we're going to continue learning there. But you know what? Start today. Take that first step today if you've not been doing it. We have some other stuff we need to get to before
right.
we say goodbye for today. Boy, I tell you what, we've got so much. We had a bunch of Skype calls
yeah.
because we've had several weeks between now and the last show. And many of you, Lord love you, you got a lot to say. And I love it that mm-hmm. you're leaving these nice long messages. But sadly, it's difficult to know how to play your message when, you know, we're talking about 8 or 9 minutes of really wonderful conversation that you've left with us. So we have decided rather than choose one person or two people that we would play, we're just going to,
we'll
as any of exactly. got a call from Derek from West Michigan. Lord
yeah.
love you. Boy, he sounds like an interesting guy. And he left us his phone number, which we're not going to tell you, but we may. Derek,
yeah,
you might
may get
give
in touch
him a call
with him because he had some
interesting
really
guy.
Interesting observations
on Thor
and how that related to Freemasonry and the mm-hmm. true God of Freemasonry.
Yeah.
So yeah,
he's
Thor
been doing some reading. Albert
Prince
Pike's
of the power
stuff.
Of
yeah.
the air. Yeah.
Thor. Well, you know, Thor. That's Thursday. Thursday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, we're soaking in it.
We
yeah,
are.
Pagan
we
culture.
Are indeed.
Yep. And basically his conclusion that Freemasonry is attempting to rebuild the Tower of Babel. Yeah. Dead on.
He's so right, and I love it. That's a really – that's the kind of stuff when you know scripture, then you can go to – you know, we call this PID, peering into darkness.
Mm-hmm.
You know your scripture, then you can go to these pagan sources, and you can start to connect the dots.
Right.
You can see what it is, the fake that the enemy is trying to set up.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I got a call from Conrad in West Virginia who talked about the connection that Tom Horn made in the interview about his new book, Apollyon Rising 2012, the dome inside the U.S. Capitol has 72 gods, which connects to the 70 or 72 conspirators of the Egyptian god Set in the mm-hmm. murder of Osiris. Osiris being the god that that may be the Antichrist, you know, the return of Osiris, and how this relates to the 70 fallen angels who were placed over the earth after the Tower of Babel incident by God. And just made the connection to the 72 virgins
mm-hmm.
that is Islamic radicals believe they're going to meet if they take themselves out and take out a few heathens at the same time. Yeah, that is interesting. That is 72, that number is very significant and keeps appearing in these sort of cosmological in the cosmological context.
You know, Conrad also made some comments about Washington, D.C.'s layout, and And we're going to do some more research on this, but if I understood what he said correctly, he said that the capstone of the pyramid, if you take a look at the streets,
mm-hmm.
is actually near the Pan Am Union building.
Right.
And he talked about a statue of a feathered serpent
uh-huh.
that is nearby. So I want to take a look and see
yeah.
exactly what he's talking about.
Quetzalcoatl sounds... and how that relates to...
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We also got a call from a sister in Christ. Did not give her name, but that's fine. That's perfectly fine. Asking what we thought about the Goetia, or the Lesser Key of Solomon, and wondering if anyone had any information about that. Well, in fact, I have done a little reading on the Lesser Key of Solomon. I, in fact, used the Lesser Key of Solomon as some inspiration for the novel, The God Conspiracy. The villain in The God Conspiracy is one of the demons named in the Lesser Key of Solomon. Now, this is a grimoire, which mm-hmm. is essentially a book of spells to be used for conjuring
yeah.
Conjuring demons. It appeared in the
it's 17th
century.
Similar to the Necronomicon.
Century. Yes, right, exactly. And it gives a list of 72, interestingly, demons
mm-hmm.
that were allegedly summoned by King Solomon to do his bidding back during
And we do say allegedly.
Right, for a couple of reasons. First of all, these demons are named and their position, their rank within the hierarchy of demons is given. And some of the ranks that are given, like Duke and Earl and, you know, so forth, President, didn't exist in the day of King Solomon. So,
right.
You know, obviously there's a clue there that it wasn't written around 1000 BC. It probably appeared in the 17th century, but drew on some earlier sources dating back maybe to the 14th century. The modern version that we have, and incidentally, mm-hmm. I have a copy of it in PDF form on my handheld, was translated by Samuel Mathers, who is the founder of the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, which is one of the various flavors mm-hmm. of Freemasonry. Mm-hmm. And of course, it was from
Theosophy.
Right, exactly. And it was from the Order of the Golden Dawn that Aleister Crowley, who wrote the foreword for the mm-hmm, Goetia, mm-hmm. created Ordo Templi Orientis, mm-hmm, or OTO. Mm-hmm. So is it really something Solomon used to conjure demons? No.
No.
Can it be dangerous?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. In fact, do not look into this darkness. Do not read these books if you are not very well grounded in Scripture and mm-hmm. a mature Christian.
Yeah.
We don't recommend these things for people who have just come to the faith because you're really not strong enough yet. Mm-hmm. This stuff is really for those who have a lot of armor on.
Exactly.
Spiritual armor.
Yeah. So it's available out there. And sadly, like a lot of this mystical stuff, you can find copies of this if you look. You know, you can find free copies of it if you look. We got a recommendation from Darcy in Virginia Beach, a guest suggestion, Dr.
Hi,
Joy
Darcy.
Q, and we will definitely check into that. And the Jesus Key, John Wilkerson called and left us a message with some comments on our last program. 2012, yeah, John, it is a deception. It is a distraction. Oh, brother, where art thou? We do know that it was an adaptation of the Iliad by Homer, but if you look carefully, the symbolism of salvation, the salvation message is very clearly in there. And
and if you want to debate Derek on that, John, come on the show. We'd love to have you. You can come on VFTB,
yeah.
And you guys can hash it out.
So that more or less summarizes the calls that we got via Skype, and that number is available 24/7. It's a it goes directly to voicemail. So wherever you are in the world at any time of day, don't mm-hmm. worry about calling because you won't. Doesn't ring in, doesn't disturb us.
Well, that's right. The only other, we did get one other call, and that's from Johnny, who said that we should take a listen to the Christmas Iron Show.
Yeah.
Haven't listened to that yet. Just now listen to the Skype calls. Happy to hear about it. You know, good on you. There are so many other people in podcasting that are serving the Lord mm-hmm. and getting the message out there. And we are happy to let other people know about your show.
Amen.
So
to
glad
that.
You called
yeah.
in.
So the Iron Show, definitely check it out. The Skype number is country code 1-317-489-9350, and you'll find that number posted at pidradio.com.
And before we go, I do want to say thank you to a couple of people. Someone, now I'm not making this up, but someone who calls himself Nuts for Trucks. Now, you know, Sam says dogs love trucks.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was Sam. But that's the username that you have, and I wish I had more of your name. But thank you to you, and also to Ashetta. I hope I pronounced your name right. Forgive me if I didn't. Echeta. Both of you helped us out at PayPal, and we really, really appreciate that. We try very hard to spend whatever dollars you send our way as carefully as possible. So yep. Thank you very
Amen
much.
Amen to that. Oh, and thank you to Alan in San Diego, who discovered and pointed out that when we moved everything to our new hosting company, that I only got the 2006 archive uploaded through the month of June. So I've been going back and uploading the rest of 2006 in order to get those MP3 files back online.
It's bad enough when the hosting company migrates your files to another server there, but when we moved to the new hosting company, we had to jump through a few little hoops. And at the time I thought, boy, this was easier than it seemed. And,
yeah.
Well, we're still figuring
now
out.
Now we're finding
oops.
Out the stuff that we didn't, you know, there were the knowns and the unknowns. And then there are the known knowns. Yeah. As Donald
it's
Rumsfeld
the variables, like on Lost.
And by the way, just one quick note, if you're a fan of Lost, season 6 coming up beginning February 2nd, there was some thought and concern that the president was going to deliver his State of the Union address on February 2nd and preempt Lost. Well, somebody put a word in the ear of the White House staff, and it's not going to take place on that day, which is good. because that would have
guaranteed. He's already preempted Charlie Brown's
Christmas.
Charlie
Brown Christmas was bad enough, but preempt lost, and boy, he's for sure a one-term president. So anyway, you can send us email, radio@peeringintodarkness.com, and you'll find the show notes at pidradio.com.
We're also on Facebook and Twitter, and we'd love to have you as a friend. And you know, if you want to visit my farm. Actually, I am finding that so incredibly relaxing. When I find that there are stressful points in my day, I go to that farm, and I only have to spend a few minutes there.
Yeah.
And it's just clicking around on my chickens, you know, hey, clucking.
And then when you want to get riled back up again, check out this week's View from the Bunker interview with Ken Silva on the influence of the New Age.
Absolutely.
And evangelical Christianity. So, until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and I'm so happy to say that is my last name. Happy anniversary, honey. I love you. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Gonna step up to the microphone. Say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon. Get us out of here. Don't let the hard times get you down. Older days will disappear. There's a new day coming. A new day coming now. There's a new day coming. Oh. Former days and living in the past. God can do a new thing now in a kingdom that will last. He'll make a way across your wilderness like a river.
This is PID Radio.